pay close heed to my every word.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Podcast episode 412, League versus Godzilla. I'm Matt Durson.
John Des.
Domai, John. Clay Inferno here.
Arigato. What does that mean?
Doitashi mistake. You said arigato, that's thank you. And I said you're welcome.
Well, arigato for being here, everybody. We kind of are we're moving in a bit of a new direction here, and we're just going to tackle the Godzilla franchise. Yeah. And
Not the way we tackled Star Trek, though.
No.
Tackle somebody dressed up like Godzilla outside and film it. Although, if we could do that, maybe we should do that.
I would absolutely do that, yeah.
If we could get the suit, I would totally. I think that would be great. Great promotion for the show. We all have, I don't know, we all, I don't want to say we all, but I know John and
we all
myself.
Have stories.
We all have stories. Yes, John and myself have been fans for a long, long time of the Big G.
Yeah, John, I'm a creature double feature guy, man.
We're all creature double feature guys. That's probably where I first saw it. Obviously,
most likely that's where I saw everything. Which creature double feature was a Saturday afternoon on WLVI 56 double feature of creature movies.
It was it was good stuff. They had like just all these monster movies, and they had a lot of Toho movies, and they had King Kong. Did they show King Kong ever?
I'm sure they must have.
Oh yeah,
I don't know how they got the rights to everything. Yeah. They literally show.
Well,
like,
you know, so it's like the 70s. All these local UHF channels, they were owned by 56, owned by Kaiser Broadcasting, right. Which also owned like station out in like Chicago and stuff, and they, you know, they could buy these things cheap, you know, all these the rights to these movies. So and,
modern
like,
day
Universal
equivalent
horror
of
movies were like here you go,
yeah,
take them.
Modern day
would
be like, oh, this is on Amazon or this is on Netflix.
Yeah,
like they happen to get the rights, and sometimes there's a lot of garbage like on Netflix because they get the rights to that like really cheap. You know what I mean? So they're just right. Like, oh, I guess we have this. Maybe people will stream it.
Yeah, and Creature Double Feature wasn't a singular sort of experience. There were like these things all over the country on UHF channels. Usually they had like a horror host, you know, like some goofy guy.
Svengoolie.
Svengoolie. I still watch Svengoolie on MeTV on
you
Saturday
would.
Nights. You're right. I would. And I do.
I do.
Well, I think I remember we would watch like a Godzilla movie or whatever and then go out in the yard and like play it.
I had the Shogun Warriors Godzilla figure, that large, I don't know, 2 foot tall thing, and it was amazing. And
it had a little
Godzilla,
fire.
It was like a lever on the back of his head, and you would stick a tongue out that had little flames on it. Despite the fact that Godzilla shoots radioactive breath,
radioactive.
You know, that's where we're coming from, and I know that in the 90s. Like one of the Turner Broadcasting channels had the rights to a lot of these things, and they would play these movies at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And that got a lot of people that are in their 20s and 30s now hooked on these kind of bad movies. So bad movies
like
in the sense that they're not bad, they're great.
That was a TV dead zone for me, the late 90s when I went to college, which I took 5 years to graduate, but like 93 to 98, I didn't watch a lot of like TV. I didn't have like a TV in my room with like watching UHF or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, by then, you know, I think
cable.
Those local channels were bought up by other things and things. And instead of playing movies, it was easier and more lucrative for them to air infomercials.
Yeah.
So you probably saw stuff for like the Flowbee and things like that instead of
Star Trek and Babylon 5.
Yeah.
But yeah, Creature Double Feature was long gone by then.
They brought it back briefly, like 8 or 9 years ago.
No way.
Yeah, it was like they do it like once a month kind of thing, but it died again. But there is a there's a group out there that I found them on Facebook, a Creature Double Feature thing, and they put out a 2020 calendar which I purchased from them, nice. And it's fantastic. It's amazing, and front of it is Godzilla shooting fire during the Smog Monster, and it has the old Creature Double Feature logo and stuff on there, and I had did the tag them in my post when I posted about it on Instagram and stuff. So it's real cool. And they would do these like little conventions at like the Sheridan in I don't even know where, it's not, some town, Jamestown or something. And
in
they would
North
get,
Dakota, right?
Yeah, from North Dakota.
Of course.
And they would like give you, here's the list of movies we're going to play today. And they'd rent out a function hall, a Holiday Inn. Mm-hmm. And they would be like, okay, tonight it's going to be Monster Zero and Frankenstein Conquers.
I love those little kind of convention things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always would find out about them like 3 weeks after they happened. So like this year I've got the calendar and I'm ready for 2020.
Oh,
your friend's wearing the shirt. Like,
and here we are.
You know what they should do is move it to Screaming. They should do a Zoom watch along with
Creatures of a
Feature, you know?
There's a streaming website called Daikaiju TV, which they'll run kaiju movies on certain days. So you can go on there and you'll be live streaming. And they also have Facebook watch parties, but a lot of times they'll get shut down because of copyright and stuff. But one day I was watching the Galaxy Rangers on there, even though that's not Daikaiju, they'll do like not a really. Saturday morning lineup kind of thing, and they'll put cartoons on. And they did Akira Takarada on his birthday, and they did Kumi Mizuno on her birthday and stuff. So it's cool shit.
Who's Akira Takarada?
Your dad, Akira Takarada.
My dad.
All right. Well, let's move on then. But the one that started it all. 1954. Yes. 1954. Gojira, as it is known. But okay, so that was the one that started it all. It was the OG.
The end.
Movie, the OG.
OG Big G.
The OG Big G. Oh, good. And so it was, but like they saw how King Kong was in the States. And
King Kong was re-released in the 50s. And it sold more tickets the second time around when they re-released it in the 50s than it did originally, and that kicked off an interest in monster movies. But these movies were expensive to make with stop motion, because then they did that Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, which was Ray Harryhausen working on stop motion. They saw that was a big hit, and Tomoyuki Tanaka, the producer of the OG Big G, was traveling back from China, because they were going to do a Chinese Japanese like co-production of a movie, and it fell through. And the legend has it that on the plane ride back, he's like, I need to fill this schedule with something else, and came up with the idea of like, oh well, Beast of 20,000 Fathoms is real big. Maybe we can do something like that. And then there's your backstory.
And it did start like the original creature ideas. Maybe it was like a big octopus, like you'd see at the end of the Watchmen comic book, or they had some other like character ideas before they landed on Big G, as we like to call him.
They hired some. I think I can't remember if it was a cartoonist or something to come up with some designs. And within an hour, he designed something, and it looked weird, and it had like a mushroom head because it was like looked like a mushroom cloud.
Mushroom cloud because of the radiation thing. It was always going to be based on the bum, as Quint from Jaws called it.
Appreciate the context too, because we as the U.S. we dropped bombs on Japanese citizens, and so this is kind of like the fallout of literally the fallout with
very good
commenting on that. And something weird happens to this this fishing trip?
Boat. Yeah,
the in real fishing life? Boat.
The Lucky
the
Dragon.
Lucky Dragon number five.
Yeah. The Lucky Dragon Mambo number five.
At the Bikini Atoll.
Atoll. What a funny name for an atoll. Yeah, Bikini Atoll. So there was the sailors got exposed to radiation from
they had gross burnt skin and stuff.
Where technically they were outside of the area that the blast area, but the scientists had miscalculated how large the blast would be. So yes, they are caught in it and covered in ash and all sorts of whatnot.
But that was around the same time that Godzilla was released, right? I mean, they must have already made.
No. It was before, because this was also it also served as the inspiration. Those sailors at the beginning, right, when they see the giant flash, that's a direct correlation to, they were commenting. It was still within the news because this movie came out within a year of that happening.
What I was going to say was, I was going to give you an exact date, which was 1954, March the 1st.
Yes. And Godzilla came out in November of that.
Oh, all right. I thought they were both kind of around the same time. But okay, very well. Still.
Well, it just kind of made it a certain energy, especially in Japan, when these poor folks are like still dealing with like the aftermath of these bombs and what it did to whole villages and you know, towns and cities, and then other nuclear weapon tests. And, you know, radiation was the biggest thing in the 50s, as we find, like, when George McFly is awoken by Darth Vader, you know, like, all that sci-fi stuff was, like, all radiation suits. It was all, like, you know, space aliens.
Yeah, it's kind of like that scene in Ed Wood when the guy says, oh, atomic age stuff, huh? Like, that's, like, what everyone was doing. So it's kind of, yeah, that's what everybody was doing. So I want, maybe John knows a little bit about Suitmation, something that it's like, you know, not using miniatures.
Suitmation?
It's using a real guy in a suit instead of
using a guy in a suit, yeah. Because the Tomoyuki Tanaka went to A.G. Tsuburaya, special effects director, who had been blacklisted after the war because Americans had their kind of their fingers and everything over there for a while, and they had been like, well, he was making propaganda films for the Japanese, so he was sort of on the outs for a while, and he couldn't get any work, but Godzilla was sort of his big comeback. So nice. Tomoyuki Tanaka went to him and said, can you do this, you know how King Kong's popular and the Beast is popular? And he said, it'll take 7 years to do a stop motion film.
And very
so
expensive.
We'll come up with something else. And that was when they came up with the man in the suit idea. Once they finalized the design after they made several maquettes of Godzilla. In fact, you can see some of the clay sculptures that they made of Godzilla in promotional materials for the film. Yes.
Not this
one. Oh, okay. I heard my name.
Poor guy couldn't spend more than 3 minutes in the suit.
Well, what happened? Like the way they made the suit was fucked up. Like they were using like
zero
bamboo
experience
and chicken wire and shit, and then they would cover it in liquid latex, and then they covered it with a charcoal gray like a sealant kind of thing, and then Haru Nakajima, who played Godzilla, I think 12 times. Pops in the suit, and they're like, okay, let's see it. It's a June day, it's hot out, and like he gets in the suit, and they're like, okay, do something. He's like, I can't, because the latex had cured to such a degree that you couldn't really move in it.
Oh,
and
my
yes,
God.
And when they had corrected that eventually, that yeah, you could spend a couple minutes in it, but it would get to like 130 degrees in there, and he'd wring out a cup of sweat.
100.
He lost like 20 pounds just in just like water.
Well, under the hot light.
I need to get one of these suits.
Yeah, I know. It's like a steam.
I heard 140. And if you even think of what it's like, think of what 110 degrees feels like.
It was like that today.
Today was like 100. I think it was like 99 or
99. 140 degrees above that?
And like they were just
hundreds of pounds or whatever. I mean,
it weighed 220 pounds or so, and the way he'd see out of it is they just poked little holes in the neck, and that's how you're supposed to get your you're supposed to be able to see and get your air ventilation. I'm just like, oof.
Now, I will tell you something. I'm really good friends with from the Bordens, you know, from Abington, and Rand Borden is responsible for Kaiju Big Battle. And,
all right.
And he, mastered, you know, modern, but he had to figure it out himself too, just like these guys did, like when they were first building the suits. But then what actually he ended up doing, I mean, this could have been in the 90s when, this is like probably a long time ago, he actually got to go to Japan to where they did Ultraman, and the Ultraman.
That's Tsuburaya Productions, that was started by A.G. Tsuburaya.
He basically went there and totally like a cool like kind of a dream Japanese apprentice kind of like Karate Kid kind of thing. He went over there and they taught him how to make the suits, like how they make all the Ultraman suits, because they must have 100 just for one episode. Yeah. And they taught them all the techniques so that he could make his own original characters when he came back home, and how to make them so that they can last through a real fight and everything. So I always thought that was cool.
Why is he on the show right now?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
We could get him to talk about Kaiju Big Battle, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they start having shows again.
So they name this guy, this character, this creature, Gojira, which is whale and gorilla, sort of the words in Japanese combined, because he comes from the water.
A killer whale!
From the depths. Yes, but he's...
From
he
the depths, looks, 30 yeah. stories high, breathing fine. You know, I'm going in the Hanna-Barbera cartoon here.
Yeah. And it ends up being the costliest film in Japanese film history at that point. But it's... It works.
Yeah.
People like it.
People do like it.
Yeah.
Probably because my dad's in it.
Your dad, Akira Takarada, yes. They like it over here, too. So much that they made their own little cut and put Raymond Burr in it. What's that? What's the deal with that?
The interesting thing about this movie is it really has two movies. And the funny thing about it is that the movie, the Americanized version, was successful, that it was then brought back over to Japan and retranslated from the American version. They essentially wanted to Americanize it so that it would be popular to American audiences. What you lose in the American version is a lot of the sort of somberness. Because, if you're watching Gojira, there's that scene where the woman is holding her children and they're crying. Yeah. And she's like, don't worry. We'll be with your dad again soon. Mm-hmm. There's the scene where all the dead bodies and all the girls' choir is singing. It's very,
It's very serious.
Yeah, and instead what you do is you throw Raymond Burr, who never interacts really with, he's supposed to go see Sarazawa, but he never gets together with them. You know, it's just some guy that they filmed in front of, with test tubes in front of him. And the cuts are real awkward. Because you can tell that it's sometimes the clothes don't match from who they're she's wearing something close to that. It's close enough,
He's a reporter.
I can't say I've seen this version with Raymond Burr.
Although
maybe perhaps I did when I first saw it, but for this show, I watched the one on HBO Max, which is original Japanese.
Yeah, version. That I feel if you're going to watch one, that's the one to watch.
Yeah.
The Raymond Burr one is sort of it's an interesting sort of afterthought. In fact, on the Blu-ray, the Criterion Collection, it comes as an extra.
So
there you go. That's how well
it was released in North America in 1956 as Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yes.
An exclamation point at the end top of the muffin to you. You're a Seinfeld fan.
That's how you differentiate it from the 2019 version of King of the Monsters.
But the excavation point.
Yeah.
And Perry Mason is in the zeitgeist now because we have that Perry Mason TV show.
Right.
On HBO.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm just going to jump ahead a few decades here because when they did Godzilla 1985, they did the same thing. They did that again.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
He reprised his role as Steve Martin.
Is that his name? Oh my
That's
God.
That's his name in the movie, Steve Martin. They never refer to him in the 85 version of Steve Martin. They only refer to him as Mr. Martin.
Mr. Martin, apparently, was what they came up with.
Yeah. Like, they had Raymond Burr walking around with one of those fake arrows through his head and a banjo. It was real weird.
Wild and crazy guy.
He was a wild and crazy. He was a lot bigger and older, but he's, whatever.
But, in the 85 version, Roger Corman production of that New World Pictures put that out. And they want, and Dr. Pepper is plastered all over that because they had a deal with Dr. Pepper. They're always standing in front of a Dr. Pepper machine at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. But Raymond Burr insisted the movie be taken seriously because they were going to chop it up and make it a comedy. And he was like, I'm not going to do it if you're going to do that. And he was very insistent on that this is going to be, we're going to take this seriously. Godzilla meant a lot to him and to his career. So he said, be respectful, you sons of bitches.
Good for him.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I mean, that is something there is something to be said for that. I mean, in Japanese culture, it was a serious... Well, I mean, they did do goofy things. The first one, though, was a serious take on the...
It's a war commentary.
Talking about the...
Ishiro Honda, the director, and who also worked on the script of what was a prisoner of war several times and traveled back through Japan and all the areas that were decimated by the bombs, and it made him a pacifist. And so he always liked to throw that sort of stuff into his films, was his message of peace, and that the military can't defeat Godzilla. It's science that will defeat Godzilla.
Right. With the
unlike America, where we don't listen to science, we listen to military.
What is this thing called? Destroyer? Yeah. But that's an awesome name, and it looks fucking cool, too.
Which, then that ties into the 1995 Godzilla film, where it's Godzilla versus Destroyer, who was created by the Oxygen Destroyer. So, and they also bring back the woman that played Emiko, the fiance of Dr. Sarazawa, who's seeing Ogata behind his back and stuff. And she reprised her role in that quote unquote final Godzilla film. Yeah,
right.
It all ended there.
Yeah, yep. They didn't do any more movies after that.
That's the story of the League versus Godzilla.
That's right.
Yep, Godzilla dies at the end. The end.
Well, it's funny, though, because it did... I mean, like we said, there are 30... I don't know if we said this when we were recording or not, actually, but there were 32 movies. Some Hollywood ones, obviously, that we've talked about on the show before. Maybe we could do an episode on those. I don't know. I think the 2014 one deserves another...
I enjoy that. I haven't seen the other one.
A lot of people at the time loved the 2014 one. Now they kind of shit on it because they're like, not enough Godzilla. He's only got 11 minutes
of
screen time.
Enough of him.
That first reveal of him at the airport, and you finally see him, I turned to Dirtson after they showed up. I was like, okay, I don't need to see any more. I just saw what I wanted in this one shot. And we were like, that's it.
And that's all.
It's so much better that way. It's like Jaws or whatever. You know what I mean? You don't see the shark. You want to. I love the.
I mean, I get why it was frustrating for certain fans. You're like, come on, it's a big budget movie. We finally got, we got Bryan Cranston and.
10 minutes. Yeah.
Isn't it the guy from. Oh, yeah, it is Kick-Ass. It's Reed Richards, right? What's that guy's name?
Quicksilver.
What?
Oh, no, it's not Reed Richards.
No,
I get those guys confused.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, Quicksilver, Kick-Ass.
And
the Scarlet Witch. Also.
Aaron Taylor-Johnson?
Right. Yeah, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, thank you. And Elizabeth Olsen as his wife.
And then brother and sister in the next movie they do. How fucked is that?
The skipper to...
Shit, man.
And over there is John's dad. His dad.
My Japanese dad.
And the rest.
Yeah, I mean, all those movies, it spawned a lot, a whole franchise. But here's a question. Maybe John knows the answer to this one. Godzilla is recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest continuously running movie franchise. But how is King Kong not the longest continuously running movie?
Because maybe maybe they in terms of like output.
Yeah, King Kong's had like four movies.
Yeah,
and Godzilla. Also they're more of a, it's more of an MCU, the GCU. There's more of a Godzilla universe.
It really was like that was a cinematic universe before cinematic universes became in vogue. Like you'd have Rodan showing up from what like he dies at the end of one movie, in quotes. And then he comes out of the same, like, you know, he comes out of a mountainside, which you could say, like, well, that was like the volcano he fell into in the last one. You know, it was very loose continuity, but there were things crossing over all the time.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, it's, although technically King Kong came first, you can't really call it a franchise, I guess, because it's been so.
There's no Nick Fury, so you can't say, like, yeah. You know.
There's no Raymond Burr.
So yeah. Tie them
together. But yeah, I mean,
Rodan, step out of the donut.
Movies have been the longest span of time without a movie for Godzilla was between 2004 and 2014. But and then again in 75 to 84. So you've had a couple breaks in there. They keep making them, but in terms of King Kong, 1933 to 62 with King Kong and Godzilla, and then to 67, I think, with King Kong Escapes, and then he did the 70s. So there were these large gaps regularly with Kong movies, and maybe that's why.
And it's almost like King Kong.
Yeah, I
like,
guess it's not a franchise because they're literally constantly rebooting it and telling the same thing.
Yeah, and Kong like pops into the Godzilla universe. Godzilla has a universe.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the whole thing locked down, and he's like, yeah, you can come over even though you were before me, but you can enjoy my cinematic universe.
Well,
yeah.
I think.
If anyone has seen, well, you know, King Kong versus Godzilla.
He's not a real person.
King Kong versus Godzilla is the, in terms of ticket sales, the highest. It sold the most tickets for any Godzilla film.
I did not know that. That's very interesting.
And it is my favorite. And that one's got two very different versions too. If you watch the Japanese version and the American version, they're different but the same. You know.
But yeah. So just to put to rest the theory that we always had as kids, the ending is the same.
The ending is the same. There are not.
King Kong always walks off at the end. There's no like, oh, Godzilla wins in Japan and King. That was always something that we on our street growing up as kids. We always thought, oh man, I want to see that Japanese.
I want to see that. Yeah, I want to see Godzilla coming out. Yeah. My friend Marshall used to call me a Kong enthusiast when we worked together. As I love Kong, I guess Godzilla more, you know?
Right. Who could love a big monkey?
My wife loves a big monkey in terms of
cheating. Oh, that's funny. Look at you. That was a movie that I hunted for on VHS through all of the 80s and probably, you know, at least a little bit of the 90s before I think I finally saw it at like Strawberries or something. And I said, I bought Godzilla.
I always like to make a reference to the music store Coconuts, and no one remembers that
and
one. There was one at the Plaza as well.
Yeah.
The Strawberries was in Brockton. Yeah, and the Coconuts.
Coconuts is like in West Bridgewater, I think.
Ah, oh, shit. I don't even know.
I don't even know where Bridgewater is. In North Dakota.
North Dakota.
But, I mean, yeah, there was a Strawberries down the street from our comics, or down the, not the street, but down in the same,
in the same
our comic book store, and I would go to that Strawberries a lot. And, I remember. I don't know where, but I'm pretty sure I found it at Strawberries, and I said, shit, man, I'm buying fucking King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah, I don't care how overpriced it is.
Right.
I'm buying it.
And I didn't have any money, but I was like, damn, man, I need this. I probably watched it once or twice in the history of watching things, but I wanted it.
I watch it, I'm gonna say, like 6 or 7 times a year. I watched it the other night. It's on Amazon Prime right now, as of this recording. And it doesn't even bother me that it doesn't really line up with the Japanese version. I still love it regardless. I love the design of Godzilla in that movie. King Kong looks like shit in that movie.
Yeah, you're right. Well, what are the differences in the Japanese?
The difference is that, well, first of all, your grandfather's not in it. There's that guy that looks like your grandfather. That's fine. He's like, now let me tell you about Godzilla. Yeehaw! And then. Yeah.
You sent that wild video with all the different costumes of all the different. That was pretty cool. That animated video you sent us.
Oh, yeah. They all look different. There's always a slight difference. It's like we talked about when we were doing our Star Trek things. The Enterprise is always sort of slightly different in each movie, and Godzilla is kind of the same way.
Yeah, because, they up until the 80s and 90s, they would build, generally speaking, they would build a new suit for each movie unless there was, like, really no budget. And they'd be like, let's just reuse the tattered one from the last one. Or sometimes they'd, like, cut off the head and replace the head and, you know, combine that with an old suit. But they didn't use the same molds or they didn't even make molds. I don't know what it was. Because you'd see, like, some movies, like the original Gojira, the suit doesn't match the puppet that looks like Alf that they use for half of its appearances, you know? He's got these little weird arms and stuff. Elf. And I always thought, hey, it's me, Alf, and I'm on TV 38.
TV 38, the
rival.
Yeah. But his tail would get longer sometimes, and sometimes he had big eyes, and sometimes he had little eyes.
But not until the 90s did they create like sort of like a master mold, and then he looked essentially the same from Godzilla versus Biollante up until Destroya, and he looks similar in the Millennium series that started in 2000.
And they did note that Japanese people especially, but a lot of hardcore fans didn't like the 2014 one and said he was fat.
They were calling him out on being fat. I'm like, have you ever watched the Godzilla movie? He's always had thunder thighs.
Yeah, he's always been kind of fat.
Thunder thighs.
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of the 90s, I guess we would be remiss if we did not mention the Matthew Broderick version, which I have a personal connection. I've always had sort of a personal connection to that movie because I worked for that studio. And I was so excited. I told literally everyone I knew, everyone I came in contact with during that spring. I worked for that. We're going to go see Godzilla. Not just Sony, the production company on the Sony lot, the very small company that said, like, that commissioned this script, said, we're going to make this movie.
They were called Puke in My Mouth Productions or something. Should have known.
Did you get to see what kind of insider shit did you have, man?
I mean, the movie was done. I had no inside shit.
But one of your roommates worked on the video that the Wallflowers
on the Wallflowers Heroes video. So he had a better time than I did. But because I know the people are like, you're the David Bowie version, but I still don't mind that song.
I like that version. Yeah. I don't mind. I actually prefer it. I hate to admit that.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I like the Wallflowers.
Like the Wallflowers. And but I literally told everyone how excited I was to see this Godzilla movie, and I worked for that company. And that was one of the reasons I applied for that job. Because I was like, oh, they fucking made Godzilla. Maybe there'll be like shit around the office. There was nothing around the office.
I remember when I came out and visited you, that the Godzilla advertising was everywhere. Yeah, on the sides of buildings going, his tail's this long. And, you know, his foot's this big. His dick was hitting a thing, you know.
We're talking about The Simpsons and Apu earlier. There's some Simpsons actors in this.
There's all the Simpsons.
Harry Shearer.
Yeah.
What's her name?
The one that plays Bart Simpson.
Yeah. Nancy Cartwright.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. This was a big joke on me, I think, because I literally was so excited for this movie for all those reasons.
And I was too. I remember when they played the preview on New Year's Eve, like 97 into 98. And I was like, I ran into the next room and I was like, I gotta see the. I was just like, you know, you'd try to record it and then freeze frame it so you could, because they weren't showing them. They weren't showing.
Thank God.
Why didn't you just watch it on YouTube the next day?
Yeah, right. In 1998, man.
My dial up was so slow back then. Yeah. Also, I think YouTube wasn't invented, maybe, at that point.
That's probably
the reason.
And I think also, I feel like Pine Mail.
I don't think I had the internet yet.
I don't think I did either, surprisingly enough. But yeah, I was living in L.A., working on the lot where that movie was made.
You figure you'd see him at, like, you know, craft services or something.
Hey, AG. Mr. Green.
But boy.
That what do you call Godzilla when you see him at the craft services table?
I don't know, but if I saw him after the movie, I would have kicked him in the balls for being like that.
But,
was
but one he of, does
terrible.
No, he has balls because he's the, right. Not a he or a she. He's the asexual or something.
Well, they lay eggs. It lays eggs, right? So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but it lays eggs without having to get impregnated.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's a couple of...
It's literally the dumbest movie. Like, I cannot... It is... I am without...
Okay, let me take over then, if you are without...
Yeah, take over. I can drink more now because the movie's so bad.
Fruit of the Loom got in trouble because they leaked forged... Like, the studio leaked images to these certain companies to see if they could trace who was leaking images. And Fruit of the Loom leaked the images, and they got kicked off of doing the merch for that movie.
Fruit of the Loom?
Yeah.
What, was Godzilla going to be wearing underwear or something?
I don't know, like, but what? They leaked it to the press, and they got in trouble. And then, did you guys see the YouTube video I sent you earlier, which is Blue Oyster Cult singing
yes.
No-Zilla? Yeah. It's a complete, yeah. Them in the studio recorded a version, or maybe they just recorded the vocals over their old tape, of all new lyrics. Taking down the movie and talking about fucking Taco Bell and all this wild shit, man. It's called No-Zilla. It's awesome. Blue Oyster Cult. They rule. Rock and roll.
I'm actually gonna, sort of along those lines, the soundtrack to the 98 Godzilla movie is not bad. It's pretty good.
It's got Puff Daddy on it.
It's like good 90s
it's got
movie
Foo
soundtrack.
Fighters.
Judgment.
It's got Sting.
Night.
It's, yeah. Maybe it doesn't have Foo Fighters. It has Green Day. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the X-Files soundtrack, which came out that same year. But anyway, it's got a lot of good albums. And my friend worked on the video for the Wallflowers song. So, the less said about that movie, the better. Except that I do like, that in the fandom, they referred to him as Godzilla in name only, or Gino.
Gino.
Which I thought was kind of funny. But I like that which one was it? Was it Final Wars or wherever? Where Godzilla just
yeah, it's Final
destroyed.
Wars. They Toho renamed him Zilla, and there's the scene in Final Wars where the real Godzilla faces off against him and takes him down in about 13 seconds. They're fighting
hey
in
now.
Australia. Just
yeah,
just shoots him just with
shoots
his
shoots him with the
radioactive breath.
Now, what was with like the raptors in that movie? Like. I mean, less said the less said about the movie,
I don't think,
the better.
I
but like,
the
why did they just steal that
is,
from Jurassic Park? You know, it's like that's
because they were like Jurassic Park was popular. We
yeah,
should just
yeah,
do
made
that.
A lot of money.
Also, Roland Emmerich was like, I don't even like Godzilla. That's why he changed the design. He was trying to make it as little Godzilla as he possibly could.
Well, he did a good job,
and that's why all his movies are bad.
Hey, before. That it, and it kind of relates to this because he made this movie, The Midway, or it's just called Midway, and it's the real-life Battle of Midway, and it has Japanese naval ships, and it's after Pearl Harbor, and it's a really badass war movie. I saw it over the weekend, and I was like, oh, man, this is, like, so good. And it kind of relates to, like, the World War II and the bombings and this original Godzilla movie. It all kind of like ties together.
Well, there you go. In a way, I guess he redeemed himself. All right, so I want to talk about Final Wars for a quick second. The 50th anniversary in 2004. 50
yeah.
years.
50
oh, my
years.
God. That's pretty.
Wow.
Godzilla got it was a Hollywood premiere that they did for that movie. And they also gave Godzilla a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And it was the same day as my birthday.
Oh,
and did you guys know that, I don't know if this happened then, but they named Godzilla as like a citizen of Japan? You know, kind of like, I guess, how
good
corporations are people. But like they like formally like Godzilla is like represents Japan. Like he's a symbolic citizen of Japan.
They also have a Godzilla hotel in Japan.
I saw that
wow.
today.
That's
that was
pretty
cool, man.
I mean, if I ever go to Japan.
Yeah. If I ever go back to visit my dad.
If you ever go to Japan, you probably can't afford to stay at Godzilla
hotel. No, you probably couldn't afford
it. You probably get like like one of those hotels where it's just like literally a bed that's like a cocoon, like a Spock's coffin kind of like torpedo thing.
Final Wars. So they said, we're going to do this and we're going to put him to bed for 10 years. They actually, and they did it. Like, this is pretty amazing. Like, it never happens in Hollywood, but they actually declared, we're going to kill Godzilla, because they kill them all the time.
Right.
Yeah, they don't kill him in Final Wars.
Now, what is the deal with, like...
Oh, really? But they said they're not going to do anymore.
Yeah. He runs off with his son, right. Minya or Manila, depending on which movie you watch.
Manila?
But can, like, American
studios... Was he a folder?
Can American studios make a movie even if, like, Japan says no, or, like, is there, like, is it public domain, or, like, how is it all
current,
work?
There's, like, a current thing that there has to be X amount of time between an American production and a Japanese production, which is why the 2014 movie was able to come out, and then Japan was able to do a movie in 2016, but they haven't been able to do one since. I'm not sure.
Oh, exactly. So that Shin Godzilla is—that's the Japanese studio's production.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Darius and I went and saw that in the theater, and I remember at one point I was just like, "Fuck, this is long." But
I think I fell asleep.
Revisited it, and I love it. I watched it with my wife twice. She loves it. The thing is, you have to understand is it's a commentary on the earthquake disaster of 2011, and also that it's a jab at Japanese politics about how they need to have a meeting to have a meeting and nothing gets done, and then every time a character dies, they'll show one of the other characters and its subtitle will be, it'll be like, now it's the Master Secretary of the Agricultural and like, these were things I wasn't picking up on when I first watched it, but upon
like prequel kind of shit, like Trade Federation.
Is it because we went drinking before the movie? Like,
yes.
Yeah. So I don't think I caught anything in either, because I think I was half drunk when we got to see it.
But it's essentially saying, well, this other character died. Now this guy's taken on his responsibilities, plus the responsibilities he always had, plus the responsibilities of this other person that died. You know, so. So you're trying to read these subtitles of the movie and read the subtitle of the character. And, like, I didn't get the humor at the time, what they were doing. But since then, analyzing the film a little closer.
They did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, no, that's funny. I like that. I should probably watch it again.
Yeah.
And then there's also, like, this anime
Yeah.
What's going on with that? Have you watched that? I have never seen it.
I watched.
I think they're on Netflix, right?
They are on Netflix. I watched the first one. It wasn't good. I'm not gonna lie. It was long and boring, and I was like, "This, it's like people." I can't even. It's hard for me to remember because I watched it a couple of years ago. It was like people leaving Earth because Godzilla destroyed it, and then they go to another planet, and then they come back like thousands of years later, and there's like a new Godzilla that's a gazillion times larger. And then they're like, let's go fight it. And then it's the end. It's like nothing happened. And they get better as they go along. But I just didn't care enough to.
Right. I think there were like three of them. But I mean, I guess the cool thing is that, yeah, here we are more than 60 years later.
Yeah.
Or, well, about 60. Well, what is it?
More than 60.
What year am I in? 2014 to 60. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, 66. You know, whatever, years later, here they are still making Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'd like to point out that Shin Godzilla did extremely... It's the first time a Godzilla movie had done that well in forever, and I might be mistaken, but I'm going to look it up just to see. But I believe it won Best Film at the equivalent of the Japanese Academy Awards.
Nice.
Really?
But I could be wrong.
How about that? John and I went to see Godzilla King of the Monsters...
No, we saw Gojira, the 1954.
No, we did do. Yes, no, we did see. I mean, like, I
oh,
mean.
Oh, you mean the other King of the Monsters?
Mm. I mean the one with the poor guy ejects from his seat right into Rodan's mouth.
Rodan's mouth.
That's
the
only thing thing I remember that movie. I remember them destroying Fenway Park and all that stuff.
I gotta
see
these.
Like,
I don't know why I haven't.
It's so goofy, but so good. I mean, it's got the girl from Stranger Things and all that, and. I mean, whatever. It's fun. It's not anything like the 2014 Godzilla, really. It's not.
No,
what about Skull Island?
The only connection to it really is it's a similar Godzilla design.
Right, but I mean, it's basically like they said, oh, people didn't like it because we didn't show enough Godzilla, so let's just have the whole movie be destroying things. So, I mean, but hey, if you're a fan, it's worth your time. But I guess the good thing is, like, there's a lot of these things are streaming now, so that's very cool. Like, we used to watch them every Saturday.
Yeah.
We'd have to wait. We'd have to be like, what's going to be on this week? You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know.
But we didn't have shit going on either.
So. Yeah, well, we didn't have shit going on. But now, like, if you get your Xfinity One remote and type in Godzilla, there's all kinds of shit that you can watch, and it's amazing, all at your fingertips. And yeah, like 12-year-old Matt Gerson would have been in heaven right now.
I would also like to mention that the 2019 King of the Monsters has the most amazing score. It's like the most epic Godzilla score ever, and it uses the Akira. Who worked on dozens of Godzilla films for the score, who created the Godzilla theme, also created the Godzilla roar and footsteps.
He created
the roar by detuning like a large bass, you know, and running like a leather glove over it.
Wow.
I don't understand how that works. But
I don't play bass, but yeah, man, that sounds pretty cool. But that is like the roar is like an iconic thing.
Everyone knows it, and no one can imitate it.
No, it's true, but many have tried.
Yeah, I remember our friend Bob was doing it. He's like, oh, yeah, Godzilla, huh?
I do have a note about how they made the original sound for Godzilla's roar was on a bass string and a leather glove.
Hey,
isn't
thanks.
That what John just said?
Did you just not hear me? Did you? Are you being funny?
I didn't hear you.
Cool.
All right. Phew. I thought like Clay was trying to sass you or something.
Funny
but
either
the
way.
The score too. I mean, like John knows, but I have like a hand motion that I do when we do the score. And I kind of move my hand in a fun way, like I'm playing the violin almost like to the score in a way. I don't play an instrument, so I look like an idiot, but it's still pretty funny, I think.
I remember when we saw that and they played his theme song for the first time, and I was just like,
I mean, it's.
And then it's, Durson helped me get the popcorn lodged out of my throat.
Right. And then he was just like, hey, there's the score.
That's pretty cool. Well, I guess.
Is this Kong Skull Island movie not part of the new ones? I can't figure it out.
It is. Okay. It's part of the Monsterverse, which I didn't really like Kong Skull Island that much. I've been thinking about watching it again, but I can't find it for free on anything. So
no, it's not good.
Which by free, I mean something.
I wanted to see John C. Reilly.
He's good in it, but he sort of stands out as like, well, this character is in like a totally different movie than everybody else.
Yeah, like he makes no sense at all. Like,
have you vlogged about this Brie Larson appearance?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, this movie, that movie was also played on Daikaiju TV, that website I was talking about, which I think it's
Daikaiju.tv
is the, yeah, so.
Yeah, if you go to mattdurson.com, you can find my Kong Dumb Island, I think is what it's really not good. It's not a good movie, but, you know, whatever. It's got a big monster in it.
Kong looks cool. So that was. I remember at the end of that, I was like, "All right, can we just hurry up?" And what? Normally, I would have been like, "Oh, giant gorilla fighting whatever this fishy lizard monster thing is." What, you know? I would have been like over the moon. But for some reason, I was just like, "Let's just get this done with, so I can go home and do something else."
I like that your go-to excitement is being over the moon. You've said that a number of times. And, I like that. It's very spacey.
Yeah, well, it'd be like my father, Akira Takarada, in Godzilla versus Monster Zero or Invasion of Astro Monster, where, you know, you go over the moon to get to Planet X.
Was that literally what they did? I don't remember.
No, I mean, it was like hidden behind Jupiter, but I suppose you would have to go.
Do you have asteroids? No, my dad does. Sometimes he can barely sit down.
I do want to say, like, out of all the Godzilla movies, Monsters All Out Attack is got to be one of the best movie names ever of any movie.
Yeah.
Giant Monsters All Out Attack.
And I'd like to address that film for a second, which they gave that movie that that name is sort of a throwback to the 60s. It's quite a good movie. And it was directed by the guy that did the three 90s Gamera movies, which those movies, they get better as they go along. Like, you could tell they have no budget in the first one, and it's kind of funny, some of the effects. And then the second one, you're like, oh, these aren't bad. And then the third one, you're like, these are like actual Hollywood effects, you know?
This is like a Fast and Furious.
This is really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Destroy All Monsters.
Oh, that's another favorite.
That was one I hunted Comic-Cons far and wide throughout my youth looking for a bootleg of that movie. Because I don't know.
And then you stole it from that guy.
Is that the one I stole?
I don't think that was the one. But
I did steal something from that guy. It had who deserved.
Memorably booming score by Akira Ifukube.
Ifukube.
Score, man.
The
ADV DVD released that in 2004, I think, came with a CD of the score of that movie.
Wow. ADV DVD.
Yeah, and they're not even around anymore. They went out of business after that. Like, I put the DVD in, and it just starts playing. There's like no menu or anything to it. It just plays.
Oh, I love those. You know.
They re-released it as a better DVD. I think Classic Media by Sony, I think, re-released it a few years later with a commentary and you know, actual chapters and stuff.
There's
put the movie in there, it goes.
There's a digital whatever equivalent of that when it's like you like buy it and then you press play and there's no nothing at the beginning. It just fucking dives right in.
Let's go.
You're like, there's no menu for extras or anything. It's just like, nope, you're going to watch this fucking Kirk Douglas movie right now.
You bought it. There you go.
You bought it, dickhead. That's all you get. And Destroy All Monsters is the name of a garage
that's
rock
subject
band.
That's the email.
Yeah.
What's that?
You bought it, dickhead. I was going to say, Destroy All Monsters was a pretty awesome garage rock band from Detroit, like MC5 Stooges kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. If I was in a band, that would have been my name, but I never learned to play an instrument. Like I said, except if I could learn, I'd go.
I learned that part the other day on the keyboard.
Really?
It's actually not that hard, but I wouldn't be able to tell you. Then I looked it up online just to see how to do it because I was thinking of doing a Godzilla mix, like a drum Godzilla, like this, like a fucking EDM, you know, dubstep fucking Godzilla thing. Record it.
We could always use new music at the beginning of the show.
Yeah,
that's right, that's true.
But I learned how to play it's not hard.
It's YouTube friendly if you play it.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not gonna tear it down. Like,
no Toho never takes anything down for copyright infringement.
That's why we never put up our audio comic that we did.
We did the Great Godzilla Roundup.
I thought I had a great performance there as a narrator.
Are you guys being sarcastic? Do they?
We'll be lucky if this podcast stays up.
Oh, right, good.
But I'm not being sarcastic.
You know, it's funny.
I did a great job as the narrator.
It's funny because I noticed that when I was watching some YouTube videos that I used to cram for this, it was like hardly anything original Godzilla. It was all like clips from like the news and like people in costumes tackling each other in the backyard and stuff like that. It was like not a lot of original Godzilla stuff. That must be why.
Toho's a little, they're a little tough.
Yeah.
But apparently they're easing their restrictions a little bit, according to some Godzilla YouTubers.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The Godzilla YouTubers, that's like really something we need to tap into. Hopefully they're watching now, which they're not.
They're, they're like any sort of subset of fans. They're brutal. They can be.
And not
brutal.
Listening to us.
Yeah, they're probably not listening.
I hope they're not, because I've probably said a million wrong things.
Oh, I'm sure. In fact, maybe we should do it just a Godzilla podcast and just do it wrong on purpose.
I can do that.
Sort of. I know you were doing that time where, whatever you said, you had a you had a beagle.
And I'll just repeat whatever was, you guys just said. And, you had a, and I'll just like, repeat it and make it sound like it's a real thing. Cause you
just You just say it again and people will suddenly go, oh, well,
people, that's how the government gets you, man. They repeat the lies.
Yeah, well, that's why I keep saying Akira Takarada is my father. I mean, he said it, so it must be true. I don't remember, like, he was an absentee father, I'm not going to lie. He wasn't around
until... He was busy making all these movies.
Well, maybe he could have stopped by once in a while he was in America to visit in on his son and his granddaughter, which made me feel real old when he said that about the translator.
All right, speaking of dads and sons, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys know about this? Paul Gasari.
I do.
Movie. I do. So yes. King Jong Il, who was Kim Jong, the current North Korean leader's dad, who's no longer around. I was gonna say no longer with us, but fuck that guy. But anyways, he kidnapped the director Shin Sang-ok. And of many Godzilla movies, and made him make a monster movie that was like propaganda film for North Korea. After he was kidnapped, the guy. Yeah,
isn't that crazy? Like a plot of a movie. You know what I mean? Like that sounds like something that Joe. Not Joe. Seth Rogen. Joe Rogen.
I mean, it's Seth a Rogen real monster too. Movie too. I mean, there's like got a cool costume and stuff.
Make a monster.
I don't know if you can even see it.
Yeesh. I kind of hope not. That sounds horrible. I would be.
They escaped to the U.S. Him and his wife escaped to the U.S. I should say that at the end.
Oh, good.
All right.
So don't be sad about the director, but that does suck. 1985.
He did get out. Okay. We should probably talk about Godzuki and the Godzilla animated series, right? Just as a
I don't know anything about it, so I'm going to hang back
and I'll repeat. You never saw it?
I'll repeat everything you guys just said.
Yeah. He tackles every monster because he's Godzilla, right? Was that? Did
it's
I make
like
that
us.
Up?
We tackle
you made
Godzilla.
That up, but Clay should repeat it.
I made that up?
We tackle.
It's not a real thing. Clay, put that out on social media now.
Clay, put it out there. Matt
it's already done. I mean, I'm live streaming this.
Something. So, I thought that was the real theme song.
That's 30 stories high, breathing fire, his head in the sky, Godzilla, da-da-da, Godzilla, da-da-da. And God, that's the lyrics. That's it.
His nephew, which is different than Manila or Manaya.
Yeah, or not.
Yeah, right?
I don't think he is.
You think it's his son?
I think he's
and
just,
why are
no,
these,
he's just
why are
a
the sons
freak.
And nephews gendered, but Godzilla is not gendered?
What?
Right, nephews, yeah. Like,
how do we know it's not a niece is all I'm saying.
Oh, because they refer to...
Because he had a big dick. No.
Yes. They refer to Godzuki as a he, so.
This
he
is
so... Here is according to Gojipedia, Godzuki is loosely based on Manila, with Varan, the Unbelievable's gliding ability. He resembles the version of Godzilla in the series with green skin and a row of dorsal plates running from the top of his head down his back. But that's it. I don't think they're related. And I'd also like to point out that Godzilla was never green in the films up until the Godzilla Millennium 2000 movie, where he finally was green.
Interesting.
Wow.
He was always a charcoal gray.
Silver.
When did the animated series, when did that air in the 80s?
That was
I remember watching
late 70s, late, 78. Really? Yeah.
Oh, shit. So we saw reruns, I guess.
Well, I didn't. I watched it.
I did. But... I have fun.
Yeah, I watched that in first and second grade. But I mean, it ran in reruns for a couple of years. Because then it would like they would team it up with like it's the Godzilla Power Hour, and they would team like Godzilla up with some other cartoon, like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble as police officers and Shmoop. You know, it was like real fucked up. Or like Godzilla and the Thing. Do you remember the Thing cartoon from the 70s and 80s? They're like Thing Ring, Do Your Thing.
The Thing for the Fantastic Four?
The Thing from the Fantastic Four, yeah.
I remember
the Thing. He had a ring on each hand, and he would pull them together, say, Thing Ring, do your thing, and then he would turn from meek Ben Grimm into the Thing.
Get ready, girls. This is a take.
Ben Grimm.
Who is that?
That was just me doing a voice. It was nobody.
It's a good Ben Grimm. I always think it's Ben Grimm.
It kind of sounds like from like a book and record, you know.
Well, it was a Jack Kirby drawing, so you know.
Yeah. Get ready, Goyles. This is the take. I should put that back on. I do like that
yeah,
one.
You should. Yeah, like the misses always, whenever Europe comes up in conversation or on the news or on television and movies, she'll always say Yoyup from our Batman, boner. Yeah, from when I was like, and then
he's gonna yo-yo. Yo-yo.
Or whatever, like, or, yeah. And I was like, yeah, no, that was close enough. We'll leave that in.
Yeah, when you're doing a voice and suddenly you just say something, you're like, all right, it doesn't matter.
Whatever. Speaking of voiceovers, did you know that George Takei did a lot of voiceovers for it?
Yes. He,
Sulu.
he does a number of voices in Rodan, and I believe he also does voices in
1967.
In Godzilla Raids Again, because he talked about they tried to match up a voice, and the best they could come up with when he gets mad is he says banana oil.
All right, I mean, I think
we'd be remiss if we kept going on. So
yes,
we would be remiss. What other little?
I'd be over the moon if I could talk for another 7 hours about.
Oh, this. Very good.
Yeah,
but Clay would just repeat everything you said, so it's fine.
Yeah,
do you guys know how they made the original Godzilla scream sound?
Oh, could you tell us, please?
Bass string and a leather glove.
Whoa.
Just like weird. OJ. Just like OJ.
Oh, too soon. Yeah.
I do want to say...
The Broncos coming back.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful looking car.
The 1954 Godzilla has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, apparently. So,
yeah, we went and saw a 50th screening of that.
Yeah,
and at Harvard Square, Nebraska, wherever I live, North Dakota.
I wouldn't live in Nebraska. No, but it's a good movie. Like, I mean, go check it out.
I mean, you have to be able to look past some of the dated effects work.
But it's kind of cool, though. I love watching those old movies like that. Maybe we have an appreciation for that stuff, but
yeah, I think. That's why I don't return to modern day movies as much as I return to older movies, because I like the homegrown, homemade special effects stuff rather than the real slick stuff. I know it looks better and it's cooler, but
there's something about it. Yeah, like it's a fun
physical person there, you know, there's something that, and you can see what they're going for, but they don't quite achieve because of the limitations. That's the stuff I like.
Yeah, and if you're into that stuff, then this is a movie worth checking out. Like, if you know, 1954 Godzilla, like it is definitely worth, and not knowing what came after and all the, I mean, here we are still doing it, still talking about it, and they're still making movies. So, like, I mean, it's definitely worth it. It's worth your time.
John, you're gonna have to help me with the pronunciation of some of these names here. Yeah, the Eiji Tsuburaya, the special effects guy.
Tsuburaya.
Yeah, they're on it. They apparently were talking about the movie on the equivalent of like the, you know, the Empire State Building like observation deck. They were looking down at Tokyo and like they were talking about the movie and how the. You know, Godzilla was going to come in and destroy everything, and they're like around.
They're scouting locations.
They were like up there, and people reported them.
Yeah, while
they were up there because they thought they were like terrorists.
Yeah, because all the landmarks and stuff are, but those are actual buildings that Godzilla is knocking. It's not just a random, like, you know, let's just put this. You know, I bought this down at the hobby store. Let's make this a building. No, they actually. Went and researched it, took pictures of things and, you know, built things to a certain scale. And they're like, and the theater of the movie premiered in Godzilla crushes in the movie.
Yeah.
So
it's great because the way that the Japanese movies of this time, like there's a lot of classics in the Criterion Collection and stuff. Like they're really thoughtful about like everything they do. So like making a movie, Hollywood would have made a movie.
I would highly recommend seeking out the documentary Bringing Godzilla Down to Size, which I believe is on YouTube now. If not, it was included with the Rodan and War of the Gargantuans DVDs that was released about 15 years ago, so I don't know how available it is. But It's got a lot of the old school guys talking about, like, who have since passed, talking about the old ways, you know. And then the end of the documentary, they recreate an explosion from the movie Atragon, I believe. And and what they do is, like, they take a fish tank, and then they put a like a little fan on top to get the, you know, the waves, and then they film it upside down and then just paint into the tank so they look like clouds. So they're like, okay, first put this color in that, and then they flip the image and it looks like an explosion.
So cool. I mean,
that's the kind of stuff that they did.
And it is on YouTube. I found it really easy. I typed in Bringing G, and then like that came up on Google. Bringing Godzilla Down to Size, you mean?
Yeah, that's the one, right? That's what you're saying. I'm sorry, it has a 93 tomato meter and an 89% audience score, though. I mean, this is the 1954 Godzilla based on almost 10,000 ratings, 89%. I mean, like, there are fucking Oscar winners that don't have that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. And, yeah. If you like that kind of stuff, yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, do it.
Big do it. Come on. Do it.
Come on.
So who won in League versus Godzilla? Who wins?
I think it's like Andy King Kong versus Godzilla, the Japanese version. You hear both monsters roar at the end, despite the fact that Kong kind of is seen swimming away. We're the League swimming away, but you still hear Godzilla roaring.
Yeah, King Kong didn't come back for another, like, 20 years or something.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the image of King Kong from the new King Kong and Godzilla fighting on the battleship?
No, but
you gotta dislodge this popcorn that got stuck again. Why can't this coronavirus just be gone so I can go see that?
Have this movie.
Yeah, it's the two of them fighting on an aircraft carrier.
Just gonna do image search here and
punch him in the face.
All they are old ones. How do I find like a new one? How do I find a new version?
It's Godzilla versus Kong. Don't go King Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes.
All right.
Well, while I'm looking this up, we don't have to wait for me to find this, but it's funny that he's just Kong now, though. I'll say that. I mean, that's pretty cool. Remember that's King. What is it?
All I see is spoiler alerts here.
I don't see any battleships.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It was all you over
check
the
it
internet.
Out. Oh, wait. There it is.
No, I see it.
God, that's a
punch you in the face.
In the face.
Oh, right in the face.
I mean, I was, of all the stupid things about the stupid coronavirus, there's a lot of horrible things, I'm really disappointed that there's a lot of movies I'm not getting to see right now.
I know.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
Had to sit through Comic-Con at home, you know?
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our take on Godzilla.
Our battle.
As we took on Godzilla. Yeah. Literally.
I barely scratched the surface of everything that I wanted to say. So.
Yeah, well, there's always more Godzilla movie opportunities.
Yes.
All right. So this was Godzilla Part 1. I don't know.
Tune in next week when we talk about
we could be doing this for another
the original
50 years.
Star Trek movies again.
Yeah.
We could do this for another 50 years.
Yeah. We got 50 years of Godzilla. Who knows what the fuck?
I'm probably not going to be alive in 50 years, but.
Come on now.
Oh, my God. I mean, I kind of hope I'm not. Right? I mean, I'll be 94.
The way things are going,
the sun is going to kill me.
We'll all be dead.
I'll be dead of dehydration riding my bike home.
Oh,
so
geez.
Hot.
All right, let's end it then.
Check us out. If you're on all your podcast apps. Leave us a review if you're on Apple. But I don't know if anybody listens to that stuff anymore. But check us out at leaguepodcast.com.
We're finally doing something interesting. No one's listening to us.
I know. Well, hey, we're getting
people
up there.
People are tuning in. Don't worry.
Content. We're putting out content.
People are tuning in. Thank you, listeners.
But check us out. It's all out there. You know how to find things now.
Yeah.
Whatever. You don't need us to tell you.
There you go.
Have a good one. Thanks for listening, everybody. And
sayonara.
he tackles every monster because he's Godzilla.